T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Cubs beating up on bottom feeders, and here to assess the current performance of the Chicago Cubs, who are in fourth place but just a game out of first, is Sahadev Sharma of The Athletic. You find him on Twitter at Sahadev Sharma, and he joins the Bernstein and McKnight show. I made the comment earlier, Sahadev, that the Cubs this year seem to have a knack at making sure their most critical fans remain something less than satisfied.
Yes. I'm all too familiar with that, being active on Twitter. So yes, I mean they're doing a good job of that. They win five in a row pretty convincingly, and then they have an uninspiring finale of, you know, six straight with underwhelming teams. So yeah, it's easy to criticize them. I think I keep coming back to it. I wrote it yesterday, and I keep coming back to John Lackey's comment of, you know, everyone thinks it's 162 seasons. And that's how a lot of fans act. Sometimes that's how the media acts. And I get it. We get emotional because, yesterday you watched that Addison Russell play, and it's easy to be frustrated with that. I completely understand why someone would be frustrated in the moment. But the game ends. You realize what they've done over the past week. And you take a breath, and you understand, okay, let's see what they do against Atlanta. That's the real test coming up.
Joe Madden likes to talk about small buckets and big buckets, you know, the small things he manages throughout the course of the year, and then the big things that will, I guess, for lack of a better term, take care of themselves. Addison Russell, not, at least from what I checked, not in the lineup today. You mentioned the mistake he made yesterday. Is there a point where he just needs to clear some things out of the head? I mean, he has a couple of hits against a couple of teams this last week or so, but where is Russell, and how does he kind of mesh with what the Cubs need right now?
Yeah, you know, I mean, if he's an average offensive player and brings plus defense and does all the little things, then it's fine. But, I mean, a play like yesterday, yeah, I understand why he's sitting today. It's a good day to give him a day off, probably the type of mistake that Joe doesn't like to see on the field, because it was kind of a mental mistake, you know. That wasn't just like a physical error. He screwed up there. I mean, you go straight. There's zero. There's no outs at that situation. You don't need to break for home. I think Addison knows he made a mistake. Joe knows he made a mistake. Sure, maybe a clearing the head day makes sense. Maybe some time off in general, since you have a guy like Hobby who can play a solid short, makes sense. But I think this last week should have given him a little bit of confidence at the plate. I would like to think that he could get hot, but honestly, days like yesterday make you question whether he is what he is.
Everybody thinks that the bats are awake. Look, all of a sudden, the bats have bloomed like flowers from their dormancy. And it just doesn't happen that way. And I don't know how much baseball has to be consumed to let people understand that over time, players end up being who they are. And sometimes they're going to binge a little bit and get things back to normal. And that's all it's had. Wilson Contreras went on a binge. His numbers were low, and now they look Wilson Contreras-y. And that's how it looks. And it doesn't mean that all of a sudden he's transformed himself into this player moving forward. So it will never stop making me crazy, Sahadev.
So he's not going to go 7-for-10 over two game spans for the rest of the season, every two games, seven extra base hits.
Yeah, keep doing this all the time.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like people complain about, oh, he's got a .260 batting average, all these things. I mean, people still complain about the same things. There are all these little things you can pick apart, and you're right. This is a game of fit based on failure, and there's going to be ups and downs. I hate spouting cliches, but mm-hmm. It's really true. This baseball is so maddening to be a fan of, I think, because it's so easy to get wrapped up in these little moments and to think a cold streak is what a player is, to think a hot streak is what a player is. Is Chris Bryant going to run away with MVP? And then people say, well, go look at other players too. There are other great players on other teams. You know, someone got mad at me because I mentioned Tommy Pham as an MVP candidate. How dare you mention a St. Louis Cardinal as an MVP candidate when his numbers are just as good and he plays a more important defensive position? So it's really easy to get wrapped up in your own team in one little moment, in one hot stretch of games, one cold stretch of games, and I think Wilson Contreras is a perfect example of that. He was maddeningly frustrating at the plate, making some silly, just didn't look good at the plate. Now he's red hot. So, you know, these things do even out. You'd love it if they were just consistent, like Chris Bryant is throughout the season, pretty much. You know what you're going to get day in and day out. That's why he's Chris Bryant. That's why he's one of the top five players in the game, because that's so hard to find. But you're right. Wilson's going to get hot. He'll get hot again. He'll get cold again, maybe. Rizzo's going to get red hot. These guys are going to get hot. We know which guys are the great ones and which guys we still have question marks on.
Speaking of question marks, Jason Hayward remains, it sounds, on the concussion list. Sahadev Sharma, yeah, by the way, of The Athletic, joining us here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. Question about where he's at, and a procedural one, too. The concussion list being somewhat new, do the Cubs replace him on a seven-day period, or is that working differently than the DL? And as for Hayward himself, I know he's not allowed to talk to people when he's on this list, but what's the sense you get of his recovery time period to begin with?
Yeah, it's very up in the air. Last I heard, which was yesterday, he was generally fine. He's coming to the park. It's not like he's relegated to, he has to stay in a dark room and he's got splitting headaches or anything like that. I think he's just kind of a little off still. And you know, you don't mess around with a concussion. If there's any sign that this guy isn't feeling 100%, you don't mess with it. We all know that. And no, he doesn't need to be placed on it again. I think the way the rules are with the DL, the concussion DL, is it's 7 days just in case it's a minor thing and you want to pull him off. It just gives teams flexibility. It was one of those things where the league is trying to make it easier for teams to use the DL in that case. You know, we're so worried about concussions. Put a guy on the DL if you're worried about it. Here's a 7-day DL. If it needs to be longer, it can be longer. I'm not sure what the max amount is where he has to be, you know, either on a rehab or what's going on. I'm not sure if there's anything like that, but I was told, like, not to worry about, you know, oh, they need to put him on the, you know, 10-day DL or something longer, or something needs to change. He's fine in that regard. I don't think he's imminently returning, though.
We've talked a lot about approach, about even though Lucas Giolito was trying to walk the ballpark, that the Cubs just haven't walked as much as you think they would need to. And the fact that rather than trying to grind at bats, they're looking to sting a pitch maybe early that's left up over the plate under Chili Davis. Do you have enough data to form any early conclusions about, in general, their hitting approach as a team yet?
Yeah, early on, before this week, it was a lot of soft contact. It was barely any walks. They were lower third of the league in walk rate, which is just not this team, you know? So that's what is weird. When you don't want to see them completely disregard what made them great, right? Which was wearing pitchers out, which was getting on bases, clogging up the bases, and hopefully looking for that big hit. You'd like for them to keep that walk rate up. And then also the whole point is to be selectively aggressive, right? That whole idea of wait for your pitch, look for your pitch, whether it's the first pitch or the 10th pitch in the at bat. That's the whole point of this. So you'd prefer that they're not swinging at pitches that lead to this weak contact. Now, if that's what they were doing, or whether they were just, you know, their timing was off and they weren't getting in their rhythm and they were missing their pitch, that's hard to really tell. Early on, I'd like to think that they're finding a groove. Maybe this weekend against the worst pitching staff in baseball, especially as far as walks and strikeouts go, the White Sox don't do that very well, and the Cubs took advantage. I think they had, before coming into this game, three games with seven or more walks, and they had seven or more walks in every game this series. And I think one of those games was that 17-inning game against the Marlins. So you're talking about it's a very different weekend it looked a lot more like the team that we saw in 16 and 17 grinding out at bats and taking their walks. And they didn't capitalize on Giolito, but Rizzo also did say his ball was moving a lot and was hard to line it up. So there wasn't a lot of hard contact. You didn't see them driving the ball outside of maybe Ian Happ. I wouldn't take too much away from the soft contact just yet. But I do worry that, you know, I don't like seeing the walks drop as much as they have.
So Yu Darvish scheduled to come off the disabled list tomorrow against the Braves. That one's in Atlanta, by the way. This one, the makeup one in Wrigley Field, today's game anyway. What should Cubs fans look for to see whether Yu Darvish is, I don't know, fixed?
Fastball command is obviously it's almost always the thing that you go to with any pitcher. With 90% of pitchers that are struggling, look for their fastball command. How much is he willing to go to other pitches outside of the fastball, the cutter, and the slider? Is the slider working? If it isn't working, is he just going with it over and over again? Those are the things that I'm going to look for, because those are the things when I watch him that frustrate me, because I don't like watching a pitcher go to a pitch that's not working over and over and over again, almost as if they're in a side session instead of in a real game. So it's frustrating to watch just as a journalist. I can't imagine what it's like to watch as a fan. So watch for those things, see things. It really comes down to throwing strikes and really utilizing all your pitches in the right situations. And I think that's what the plan was coming when they signed him. All spring training, that's what this group was excited about, and it really hasn't come to fruition yet. But there are times when it takes a pitcher to be a little stubborn, to fail, and then you buy in. And that happened with Kyle Hendricks. It's happened with so many pitchers. It's happened with so many players all throughout baseball. So it's not like this is exclusive to Yu Darvish. So it's a pretty normal thing to say, well, this what I've done has worked in the past. Let me keep trying it. Oh, it's not working right now. Something's not working. Let me listen to these guys and see what they have to say and see if that works.
And
go on.
No, just the Braves are good too. Now this is something we have to get
joke.
We have to get used to living in this world where it didn't take very long, and all of a sudden they're just good.
They're real good, and the pitching is starting to come together. The offense is genuinely terrifying now that Acuna is up. I mean, I believe Dansby Swanson's still going to be out this entire series with that wrist issue. But other than that, I mean, Albies and Acuna are legit MVP-type talents. That they just have everybody, even guys like Kurt Suzuki and Nick Markakis, veterans that you won't last all season. But right now, they're all just red hot, and they're hitting. And it reminds me a lot, I mean, maybe even better, than the 2015 Cubs, because the talent's up already and really producing, and the veterans look good, and a lot of young pitching that's starting to figure it out. They're a pretty scary team as far as the NL goes.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's as fun as Albies and Acuna have been to watch, and a couple others in that offense too. But the pitchers figuring things out. Soroka comes up a week ago or so. They have more arms than are there now. That could theoretically be up at some points later this season. They've just got an entire stable of young, talented guys that you've got to – it might have some growing pains at some point later in the season, but they've got a lot of talent arm-wise.
Yeah, and that means that they have resources to use at the trade deadline too. If they decide to utilize it that way, I mean, if they're winning the division or if they're really, you know, on pace for a big season, maybe they don't go the 2015 Cubs route and go Dan Heron-type pitcher and Tommy Hunter type reliever. They're regressive. I mean, they have so much young talent, and they're already producing. They have a lot of those guys up and producing. They still have more in the minors. Maybe it's time. Maybe they feel it's time to be aggressive. And if the right player is available, whether it's a pitcher or something else that they're missing, they're definitely a team you have to look out for. And I do believe that this week is a nice test for them. And the Reds are red hot too. So, I mean, there's no more White Sox Marlins type games coming up in the near future.
Well, they won enough of them to have it be meaningful in that regard. You're right. We're going to get to the Reds and what happened there with the Dodgers a little bit later on.
Yeah.
Sahadev, always great catching up. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, guys. Take care.
That's Sahadev Sharma of The Athletic.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.